You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour in this Monday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Happy New Year. Glad you can join us. Stay a while. You can watch on Peacock. Download the app. Watch for free all 3 hours. Also, you can listen on our great radio affiliates around the country as we approach 400 cities around America. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Doug Marrone was fired earlier this morning by the Jaguars. And the report out of Indianapolis is that March Madness, the entire tournament, will be held in Indianapolis. This according to Anthony Calhoun, WISH-TV, and the official announcement expected later on today. Watching Aaron Rodgers yesterday, and, you know, it's a game that the Bears needed, and, you know, Green Bay had to continue to win just to make sure that they held home field advantage. And I couldn't help but think back when the Packers drafted Jordan Love this spring. A lot of us thought, okay, Aaron Rodgers is going to be there for 2 years. That'll be about it. 2 years, and then he'll, you know, end up with the Bears or something. But I don't know when Jordan Love is going to end up as the quarterback for Green Bay, because it doesn't look like it's going to be anytime soon. You know, Rodgers had an unbelievable season, is probably going to win his third MVP. He hasn't won one since 2014, but you got the number one seed. He had 48 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. And you just look at those percentages, the ratio of touchdowns to interceptions, and nobody's even close to him historically. I don't know if Jordan Love can play. I know Aaron Rodgers can still play at a very high level, and the offense plays well. You know, but this isn't necessarily about another MVP. That's not the goal. Like, when you have a legacy, when we start to rank our quarterbacks, you know, Aaron Rodgers will be spoken about in glowing terms of his athleticism and his talents. But you want them to also say he won a couple of Super Bowls, not just one. He won a couple of Super Bowls. And then you want to get at least one more before this impressive career is over. We spent a lot of time on you know, the Washington football team making the playoffs. The Giants are out. The Eagles tapped out. How they tapped out last night. The source of concern, I think, for a lot of people, including if you missed Sal Palantonio in the second hour of the show. In fact, an hour ago, you can go to danpatrick.com and listen to that interview. I mean, you can hear it in his voice. He covers the Eagles. He covers the NFL, but he lives in Philadelphia. And I think that there was almost embarrassment on you know, Sal's take on what the Eagles did last night in putting in Nate Sudfeld. But their head coach, Doug Peterson, in a must-lie situation, probably did just that after the game when he said, "We were trying to win."
Yes, I was coaching to win. Yes, that was my decision solely. Nate has obviously been here for 4 years. He deserved an opportunity to get some snaps. And if there's anything out there that thinks that I was not trying to win the game, Ertz is out there, Brandon Graham's out there, Darius Slay's out there. You know, all our top guys are still on the field at the end. So we were going to win the game.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not. You got to see Nate Sudfeld. You know, everybody wanted to see what Nate Sudfeld could do. Now, he can't say, you know what, we weren't really trying to compete. You know, we were trying to work out some things. You know, maybe if you say, look, I got to think big picture here. I want to see if Nate Sudfeld is going to be a quarterback on this roster here. You know, I'm not worried about the Giants. You know, Washington football team, if they win, they win. You know, we're trying things. Now, if he says that, I don't know if anybody is going to have a real problem with that. But remember when Mark Cuban came on our show and he said once they were out of the playoffs, it was basically they were tanking. They were focused on the draft. He got fined for saying that. Doug Peterson is saying what he needs to say, whether you believe him or not. Do I think the Eagles were trying to win last night? No. I don't think it was important to them. If you want to start Nate Sudfeld, I'm fine with that. I just don't want to throw him into... He hasn't played. He hasn't played in over a year. And I think when you do it in the moment where you go, you know what? We need Nate Sudfeld now. Now's the time for Nate Sudfeld. Maybe not. Not fair to Nate Sudfeld. Yes, he.
Don't the Eagles still kind of have to see what they have with Jalen Hurts?
That's what I thought. Because I'm not sure. You know, I felt the same way. Have they seen enough with Jalen? They know exactly what they have? I'm assuming, because now you got to check out Nate Sudfeld. Poor Nate Sudfeld. Let's see. Bruce Feldman covers college football for Fox, just sent a tweet. Two of the coaches Nick Saban is considering for Alabama's vacant offensive coordinator role. Dun, dun. Adam Gase and Bill O'Brien. Boy, this is the rehab stop, though. You know, you want to rehab your image. It's a good place to stop there with Nick Saban. And it would probably be advantageous for Adam Gase to maybe show that he is an offensive-minded guy. Bill O'Brien, offensive coordinator with the Patriots, of course, the former head coach with the Texans and Penn State. Yes, McClellan.
Yeah, Gase's first job, Michigan State with Nick Saban.
All right.
And he likes a kind of weird personalities down there. That all makes sense.
Well, the fact that he could make Kiffin work, I would have loved to have been in the coach's room. because Kiffin will say that, like when you go, you don't want to say that. Nah, I'm going to say it. Like, that's Kiffin. Yeah, Paulie.
Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian should give a portion of their future earnings to Nick Saban. I know he's got a lot of money, but he took those guys and made them hot again.
I don't understand what Texas is doing.
Spending a lot of money on coaches who aren't coaching there?
Well, you know, that... So did Auburn.
Yeah.
We're going to pay you $34 million to just go away. Like, if the Knicks were a college football team, they would make decisions like this. I just don't know. I like that Sarkisian, you know, rehabilitated his image, his life, you know. I mean, he had as embarrassing of an exit as any college coach has had. And, you know, Texas tried for Saban. Texas tried for Urban. You know, that was real that they reached out to Urban this year. Now, I don't know if they were hunting for houses, but I was told that he turned down $10 million from Texas. My source said that. But I don't know. You get Sark and... Some guys are head coaches, some guys aren't. I don't know. And I thought Texas was kind of, they said that you know, that Herman's coming back. And then, like, what did they realize? Like, did they watch an Alabama game and they go, hey, Steve Sarkisian, why don't we hire him? All right. I think I might look pretty good as an offensive coordinator at Alabama. I'm just saying, I might be okay there. Yeah, Paul.
That's the thing. Like, Texas has to make sure they get the players. They have to win the recruiting, not as much as the offensive coordinator is great. They got to win some recruiting.
Yeah. And, you know, this is what Alabama does and Clemson does. They win the recruiting game. Ohio State, they win the recruiting battle. Texas hasn't won the recruiting battle. Like, you know, when you think Texas football, you probably think Texas A&M. You're not thinking Texas Longhorns. But Steve Sarkisian is going to be the new head coach there. I was like, okay. You know, I'm happy for him because of what he went through. Yes, McLovin.
It felt like the Tom Herman thing never got on track at all. I've never heard nice things about him there.
No, it didn't. It just didn't feel like, hey, was this worth it? Like, when are we going to see some positive things here? When are we getting magic? When are we, like, the number one high school quarterback is from Texas, and he's going to Ohio State.
He was originally committed to Texas,
yes.
And then he tapped out.
Yeah. Here's a tweet from ESPN. The Jags owner, Shad Khan, said he had roster control in 2020 and will make sure GM coming in knows he will keep that control for now at least. Oh, that's not good. Urban Meyer probably just went, what?
Just withdrawn his name from
What? No, I don't want my owner to have roster control. I don't. You know what? I'm going to give you stadium control, concession control, uniform control, not roster control. No. Oh, Sean, just, you know, hang out in London or something or on your yacht. Yeah,
see. All right, coach. Now let's see how good your system really is.
Oh, God. And you wonder why these organizations stay the way. Yes, McLovin.
Actually, in Cleveland, I think Baker Mayfield runs that stadium, according to the commercials.
Oh, yes. All right. I see that. He's the maintenance guy.
Those look better this year.
Yeah, they're a little funnier this year. Yes, Paulie.
But then Christian McCaffrey has a series of commercials that are playing every 12 minutes, but he's not playing every 12 minutes.
When's the last time he played?
Probably week 7.
Did he play? Did he have the shoulder injury? Were they tanking? Did they hold him out so they could get a better draft pick so they can get a quarterback here? Yeah, McClellan.
By the way, I may be jumping my best of commercial that I think is the best. Those progressive don't act like your parents commercials that come on during the games.
They're okay.
They're brilliant. Oh, you're not into them?
Brilliant. Yes.
Brilliant.
Best commercial going right now is the Taco Bell craving one. Oh. The movie trailer.
Oh, the guy from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Joe.
Damn, that's so funny.
Yeah, McClellan.
That one is terrifying. I saw a quote where Dan Orlovsky turned the channel because he thought it was a horror movie. I did the same thing. I did the same exact thing. I was like, kids, don't look at this.
It is a little alarming, I would think, for kids. By the way, this program brought to you by Peacock. There's a new mayor coming to NBC Comedy Thursday. Ted Danson, Holly Hunter, Bobby Moynihan. It's called Mr. Mayor. Premieres January 7th on NBC. I mentioned last hour, I stumbled upon a new show. City on the Hill with Kevin Bacon. It's about Boston. It's good. Interesting. Kevin Bacon, I don't know if he's a good bad guy or a bad good guy. And I also stumbled upon a new band called the Black Pumas. And how about I give you guys 20 seconds. You have to hear the lyrics. I give you 20 seconds to decide if you... Yes, Eden.
You're going to need about 23 seconds to get to the singing. 23
seconds.
So... Okay. You need a little longer.
I'm going to get... Here's 30 seconds of the Black Pumas. And I was watching CBS this morning on Saturday morning. Dana Jacobson was one of the hosts, and they had the Black Pumas on. That's how I discovered them over the weekend. I've known them since Saturday. Here's the Black Pumas.
I woke up to the morning sky first. Baby blue, just like we rehearsed. When I get up off this ground, I shake leaves back down to the brown, 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 till I'm clean. Then the walk I'll be shaded by the
All right, that's it. That's the Black Pumas. I don't know much about them. I just know that I was watching on CBS this morning on Saturday, and they sounded great. And I went to my car and fired it up. Yeah, Paulie.
According to the always factual Wikipedia, the Black Pumas are an American psychedelic soul band based in Austin, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And the lead singer, songwriter is Eric Burton, and guitarist, producer, Adrian Quesada.
Yes, Todd.
And they spell soul band S-O-L-E because they're the Black Pumas.
Okay. All right. That's
they don't
not
really
bad.
Do that. I just,
okay.
That's not bad.
No,
that's
we're just getting out of the
that's
box.
That's your best one for 2021.
That's not saying a lot,
that
but we'll
is,
get there.
No, Todd's got mock headlines.
I do.
Yeah. All right.
Why are we sullying the great music of the Black Pumas to follow it up with Todd's crappy headlines?
I watched this band like 7 years ago.
The first day of this beautiful new year.
Things were going very
some things never change, though.
I know.
Okay, should we not do mock headlines this year?
Wow.
Wow, McLovin.
Well, is that a question? That's like...
Okay.
Doing mock headlines, like putting Nate Sudfeld in the fourth quarter.
You wanna, yeah, but we're trying to win, McLovin.
Yeah, it's like the kid deserves a shot after it. We've had plenty of years to look at
There's
that.
There's no clearer
headlines.
Sign that we're tanking than by doing mock headlines for 13 years straight.
Hey,
I just need a few reps for 2021.
Wait till Valentine's Day with these sports names.
Oh, no.
That's when we're really tanking.
Bob Love and Pete Rose, all those guys.
Okay, staff vote. mock headlines for the year? McLovin, yes or no?
Oh, fine, yes.
See? Seton?
Yeah, sure.
You can say no because I know you want to say no.
No, it's all right.
Okay. All right, well then.
Yeah, it takes like a minute to.
Okay, I know.
Are we going to lose that many viewers
yes,
and listeners in just
yes,
like 90 seconds
yes.
or less?
It's a mass exodus.
Wow.
I can
harsh.
Hear them clicking.
That hurts. That hurts my feelings.
Yeah. Well, now they can't listen to Lebatard, so they might stay with
there
us
you
a
go.
Little bit.
And
by the way, yeah, I hated to see Lebatard go. I enjoy Dan personally, and I'm sure he has something cooking. But, you know, he was opposite our show, so there was competition, I guess. We never viewed it that way. But, you know, he does it differently. He doesn't do it in the ESPN way. It was never the right fit. But that's what I loved about him is he just didn't care. He did it the way he wanted to do it. And we've shared philosophy. We've shared, you know, a lot of stories about, you know, ESPN and if you go someplace else and the things, you know, hurdles that are out there. And, you know, I don't want to compromise what we talked about. But, you know, I think a lot of Dan. I think he's very talented in Stugatz and the entire show and what they do and how they do it. But I'm sure that he'll land on his feet. He's a very, very bright guy. And, yeah, I think it's ESPN's loss. Yeah, Paul.
It was about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, when Stugatz called us out, me specifically, over having Jerry Ferrara on our show. And we did the Dan Patrick Show, Dan Lebatard Show crossover event where we were on each other's show simultaneously without clearing it with management on either side. You know, we didn't tell anybody we were doing it, and he didn't tell anyone he was doing it.
I didn't get in trouble.
Nope. It was a good time, though.
All I know is Lebatard got in trouble. He got his, you know what, spanked. But I said, let's do it again. He goes, oh, man. You know, like he heard from the higher-ups that how dare you do something like. I remember I tried to do that with Jim Rome one time. Tampa Super Bowl. And I saw him in the hallway. And I think he invited me on the show, but I don't think he really wanted me on the show. And I said, look. How about you just call into my show and I'll call into your show at the same time? And I said, I can do that. And he goes, I can't do that. I go, but I just said I'll have you on my show. And you were with me, Paulie.
Yeah, yeah. You said, let's be on each other's show at the same time instead of like being a guest at one, being a guest on the other.
Yeah, I just said, come on, who cares?
And then he said, how's the family? Good to see you.
And then he walked away.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. People take this way. So, you know, you're giving away your ratings. You can't talk about another show. You know what? You guys are grownups. You know, we work with or for, you know, eventually it's a small little world. You know, the audience is educated. They know where to find people. It's all right. All right, Todd. I stalled as long as I can.
You really did.
All right.
Okay. I'll make this quick and
I'm going to say, Paulie.
Yeah. I'm going to say no. Give Todd the year off.
All right.
He had a great December, but maybe he should ride that out and go a new direction.
Man, I don't know. It's just I built this friendship with Todd now
we
with
did.
You guys when you
we
guys were on remote.
Can you be objective here?
I can't.
Your buddy.
I can't.
There's
I
only
say
seven of them.
I say hell yes. I want mock headlines.
You
Todd.
Want more mock headlines?
Yes. I don't. That's all you have.
Should I read them real quickly? So
yeah, well, not real quickly, but quick enough. But
right.
The topic is what.
The topic is what happened in the fourth quarter, Doug Peterson's decision to go with Sudfeld.
Okay, mock headlines, and here is my good friend Todd Fritz.
That hurts. Giants lose in nick of time.
I changed my vote.
I still six more. Give it a chance.
Oh, no.
Okay.
That hurts. You have to put in some effort.
Okay.
Oh, if wow. we're going to do this, you have to put in some effort.
How about this for New York fans wailing about benching Jalen? They'll rhyme there. It's getting a little better.
Oh, no.
Dudfeld.
Crying.
Dudfeld, okay.
Dudfeld.
Okay, Dud.
You can see that on the back page. A giant head scratcher. Big Boo. Gents not happy with Eagles.
Okay, big Blue.
There's only two left.
Okay. Whew.
Phillies, Washington, its hands of attempted comeback.
Oh, I just tuned in the Lebatard show, if you don't
it's
mind.
It's not even on.
I'll be back with you in a minute.
Okay, so I'll give the last one. You guys can guess the last one. Instead of fly, Eagles, fly, what would you put there?
Why, right. Eagles, why?
Why, Eagles, why? Back after this.
Which is what I'm saying. Why?
It's your fault.
I know.
It really is.
I know.
You should take the blame for that.
Thank you, Todd. We're going to check in with the Cleveland Browns.
Wait. Almost anything we do at this point will be better than what just happened.
And if you met, you know, David Pollack from the Mothership was great today. And he brought up something about Trevor Lawrence I had not heard any analyst bring up. And I'll bring that back. And also what Sal Palantonio had to say about the Eagles. I mean, it was very heartfelt. I think he felt embarrassed for what the Eagles did last night. But bring back a portion of those conversations that we had earlier in the show. But we'll check in with the Cleveland Browns. You know, the Browns became kind of a non-story. They made the playoffs. Like, oh, if they didn't, you imagine if the Browns didn't make the playoffs? That would probably be leading all the shows. Not about what happened with the Eagles last night. It'd be about the Browns. 22 after the hour, I will get to your phone calls, best and worst of the weekend, and we'll give you ours as well. All of that coming up right after this in the Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We'll give you our best and worst of the weekend. This is how it sounded yesterday as the Cleveland Browns qualified for the playoffs with a win against the Steelers.
12,000 are going crazy inside First Energy Stadium. And wherever you are, this is starting to become very, very real that the Browns are going to go to the playoff. They're in victory formation, and Baker Mayfield takes a knee, and the clock will wind down. An amazing story. The Browns will get their 11th win of the year. They'll go to 11-5, and they're going to the playoffs.
That's Jim Donovan, the play-by-play voice of the Cleveland Browns, longtime sports fixture in Cleveland, and Jim kind enough to join us this morning. It's been a long time since you've been able to have a call like that, hasn't it, Jimmy?
Yeah, it really has, Dan. Long time, 18 long years with a lot of twists and turns in there.
What would it have been like today if the Browns didn't make the playoffs?
Oh, it would have been devastating. It really wouldn't have. And I have to tell you, Dan, it had kind of a uneasy feeling because of what happened going into the Jets game. And, you know, the Browns, if they win that game, they're going to go to the playoffs. And then the coronavirus thing hit and they lose all those wide receivers. And even in the stadium yesterday, knowing that they win and they're in, it was very tight all day long. If it had gone the other way, it would have been devastating. It really would have been.
But it felt like that's 18 years of you. You know, like that frustration sounded like it was, you were speaking for Browns fans, but you're speaking for yourself as well. I mean, that it comes through loud and clear. How much did you feel like you needed to like scream or yell or unload something?
Well, I have to tell you, Dan, it really hit me. And the reality, finally got the first one and there's no way, you know, you're just going to take a knee and get out of there and they're going to make the playoffs. It really hit me in a lot of different ways because there were so many times during, you know, my tenure doing their games that they just seemed, you know, so lost in what they were doing. And there were so many reboots and you never knew if the next one was going to be the right one. And I didn't know if this one was going to be the right one, you know, the way it came upon us last year. But it was very emotional. It really was. And I wish the place had been packed. I really do. It would have been a great, great scene. As they say, it would have been great theater in there yesterday.
Cleveland sold on Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, I think so. I think in the last, I think it's taken the second half of this season. I think just before the bye week, everybody was really still concerned about it. Interceptions, his numbers in that category were up. They were way up last year. But then after they hit the bye week, he really took off. And whatever they did with him in the bye week, you know, how they can make some subtle changes with the offense. And he really got hot. And I think yesterday he kind of did it a different way. He didn't do it with his arm a number of times. He did it with his legs. He ran for a couple of big first downs to preserve the lead and build on the lead. So I think Cleveland is very comfortable with him right now. And they see him getting better and better inside this system.
What about OBJ's future there?
I think that, you know, that's a big talking point here always because with him here, I mean, there's certainly a presence with him. And, you know, he's had isolated great games here, but they weren't great last year. And he was disappointed with what they were doing. I think for him, He wants to be a part of a winning team. I think he sees this thing as a winning team. I think that they're very open and excited that to have him back, because there is something missing in their offense without him. You know, that ability to hit a big home run ball all the time. I think it would be a good marriage if he comes back next year. I think that they're excited to see him healthy once again and a part of the team.
Playing the Steelers again.
Yeah.
Advantage who?
Oh, I would have to say advantage Steelers. They're at home. They'll have all of their guys back. I mean, Big Ben has had the Browns number since he came into the NFL. And the fact that the Browns, and it doesn't matter, Dan, what the regime is or who the coach is or who the players are, there is a real mental wall to get over to try and win at Heinz Field. I mean, they've only done it once since they've opened up Heinz Field. So that's a big, big factor. And they've lost games in a lot of different ways in there. They've been in them. They've lost them in heartbreaking fashion. Their one trip to the playoffs was a heartbreaking loss at Heinz Field. So that's a big hurdle for them. That's a big step for them.
Do you remember the lowest of lows in calling a Browns game?
Yeah, I think when they were those 2 years, the 1-15, but the 0-16, and the last game in that 0-16 season was at Heinz Field. And it looked, and the Steelers weren't playing anybody because they had already had their playoff position all decided. And the Browns are going down the field to kind of win the game. And, you know, they drop a pass on fourth down that was a simple throw that would have gotten them the first down, and it would have been first and goal. And I just said, oh, my God. I mean, that just says it all. And then a week later, Dan, and you guys probably remember this, I mean, they had a parade in Cleveland for the 0-16 season, and it was like 25 below wind chill down at the stadium, and there were 10,000 people there. That was a low point, I felt.
Well, congrats. You're an announcer, a play-by-play voice for a playoff team.
Feels great.
Yeah. No vacation for you in January, Jim.
That's okay. Not much going on anyway around here.
Hey, great to talk to you. Thanks, and have fun this weekend.
We will. Thanks a lot, Dan. Happy New Year.
That's Jim Donovan. He's the play-by-play voice of the Cleveland Browns. He's been he was doing local sports. I might have been in Dayton, Ohio at the time. Jim's been around doing Cleveland sports a long, long, long time. Let's see. Go around the room. Best and worst of the weekend. Then I want to bring back a little bit of what Sal Powell had to say. And then David Pollack talking about Trevor Lawrence. I had not heard that critique of him. Todd, start with you.
My best of the weekend, Justin Fields' performance versus Clemson New Year's Day. Bounces right back after the targeting hit to his ribs. 385 yards, 6 TDs. He also ran for another 42. Worst of the weekend, Kansas Jayhawks hoops on Saturday. 25-point loss, allowing 5 different Texas players scoring in double digits. Most lopsided win by an opponent in the history of Allen Fieldhouse.
McLovin.
My best is going to be you for your draft call, Logan Thomas, who again was awesome last night.
He was going to be a great NFL player.
He's like one of the most gifted tight ends I've ever seen. He's like great catch last night. My worst is going to be, I mentioned earlier, going back to Liberty, Coastal Carolina. Liberty's trying to run out the clock. Guy, they're letting him run into the end zone, and he's about to take a knee, and his tight end jumps on his back and causes a fumble to push the game to overtime. Liberty wins anyway.
Seton O'Connor.
My best of the weekend was watching Ohio State dismantle Clemson in the Sugar Bowl, only to wake up to find out that Michigan was extending Jim Harbaugh.
That was a double win for Ohio State. Did they get credit for 2 wins? Wait. They're extending Harbaugh?
I'm like, man, how much better can it get for one school, huh? Jeepers creepers. My worst of the weekend was Kyrie and KD both missing potential game-winning shots at the end of the game against the Wizards.
Yeah, they got to have somebody clutch.
on that team.
Yeah, maybe you need LeBron. Paulie, best and worst.
I'm going to go back a few days, Dan. You know, on New Year's Eve, the whole family is gathered around watching the Offerpad Arizona Bowl, and Ball State, 7-1, took down a ranked San Jose State team. I'm just doing this so I can mention Ball State receiver Johines Tyler one more time.
Johines!
You love your Johines. Worst or weirdest of the weekend, you know I like Sam Howell, the quarterback at UNC. During the Orange Bowl luncheon, he was interviewed, and he said he basically only eats chicken all day, every day since he was a kid. That's his only real meal. He eats some type of chicken. But like chicken nuggets, Sam Howell, the quarterback at UNC, or chicken tenders. And then the reporters doing a fine job asked him to follow up. He's never had a bite of steak or a hamburger in his life. He has had a hot dog, but otherwise he eats only chicken nuggets and chicken tenders, kind of like my nine-year-old. But Sam Howell, UNC, has never had steak, barbecue, seafood, pizza.
Mm.
Is that stunning? He's like 20 years old.
That's going to hurt his draft stock.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Should we step in?
Well, if his parents can't help him, and you know, the training tables are usually pretty good in college football.
And North Carolina is a barbecue hotbed.
I would think.
His other favorite meal is pasta and butter.
Yeah. If they don't have chicken tenders,
just have some penne with some butter.
Yeah,
that's all.
That's a kid's meal.
He's on the sidelines with a juice box.
James in Virginia. Hey, James, congratulations.
Oh, man, happy Monday, man. Happy New Year. We are Washington. I appreciate that, man. I don't care what anybody says about Philadelphia. I love Doug Peterson, man. He did a fantastic job calling that game. I don't know what anybody's talking about. But on some realness, man, it has been 5 years. It hasn't, not 18 years like Cleveland, like the guy just had on, but 5 years since Washington has been in the playoffs, man. I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be a tough call against Tom Terrific, but it's exciting that they're going to be Sunday night football. I'm a Saturday night football, man, so I'm really excited. My second best of the weekend, man, has got to be Derrick Henry, man. In a league full of passing and quarterbacks, you still see how a running game can affect a game tremendously. This guy is fantastic, 6'3", 240. I don't know, man. He just looks like a beast tank running down the field. Really like it. And I finish off, man. I called in before the season. I said Chiefs-Packers. I feel good. I like it, man. If the Chiefs don't make it, I think the Packers win it all, man. But if the Chiefs get there, I just think they're too much. Hey, have a great one, guys. Thanks again,
Thank
man.
You,
we
James.
Are Washington.
Thank you, James. Derrick Henry turns 27 today. He has played 78 games, and he has 5,800 yards. He's 100th on the all-time rushing list. He's had four 200-yard rushing games in his last 17 regular season games. Jim Brown and Barry Sanders each had four in their entire careers. He's had four in the last 17 regular season games.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
Sal Palantonio was with us in the second hour of the show, and Philadelphia-based reporter for the Mothership. And he had some strong words about the Eagles' performance or lack thereof. Here is a portion of that interview.
If I'm Roger Goodell, I'm putting on my Kennesaw Mountain Landis pants on right now.
Uh-oh.
And I'm doing a forensic investigation of what went down.
You're being serious.
Totally.
Yeah, the interview was full of emotion. Like, I think he was embarrassed for the city or the fans, the team itself, and the product that they put on the field last night. We also had David Pollack on. He covers college football, former college and NFL player. And I had not heard this critique on Trevor Lawrence.
I don't think Clemson maximized his gifts. Like, they didn't do it. I don't know how well he throws over the middle of the field, Dan. Like, I would love to be able to say Trevor can make all the throws, but he doesn't throw over linebackers between safeties. That offense is a perimeter-oriented offense. It spits it out. It's a lot of screens. So if you look at bit height, weight, speed, intangibles, flowing locks, great hair. Like, he checks a lot of boxes. So I think he'll be the number one pick, and I think he'll be very successful.
Yeah, I'd not heard that. And then I started to do a Rolodex in my head about the throws that he makes. And what he's saying is, can he throw the ball over the middle? I don't know. And are they, and he's critiquing, I think, Dabo Swinney in the offense than he is Trevor Lawrence, because he doesn't think that they've maximized Trevor Lawrence. And I put Trevor Lawrence on my Heisman ballot, and Devontae Smith is on my Heisman ballot. Mac Jones is on my Heisman ballot. And, you know, it's one of those, if you take the vote after the national title game, certainly after that semifinal game, I think Devontae Smith's going to win the Heisman. I think that they're – I thought he was the best player on the field when I would watch them play. Mac Jones was wonderful. You almost have, you know, Trevor Lawrence with the totality of his career, Lifetime Achievement Award. But the vote was taken before those bowl games. And so whatever you saw with Devontae Smith, you know, it had to be prior to that performance that he had against Notre Dame. But Trevor Lawrence is not going to win a Heisman Trophy. Mac Jones is completed, what, 76% of his passes this year? But I don't know how much – do I give him credit for that? Like, it's just weird when it comes to assessing quarterbacks now. It really is difficult because I think that we're seeing that with Tua Tagovailoa this year. All right, we'll take a break. Last call for phone calls. Back after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Chargers looking for a new head coach. Anthony Lynn was just fired. Doug Marrone, the Jags, he was fired earlier this morning as well. We were talking about what we were watching during the Christmas break. And I watched City on the Hill. It's on Showtime with Kevin Bacon. It's about Boston back in the 90s. And Kevin Bacon is an interesting character. There's a lot of things going on with Kevin Bacon in City on the Hill. But I liked it. I watched the whole first season there. Dipped into season 3 Cobra Kai as well. But yes, Paulie.
I watched season 1 of The Morning Show on Apple TV. It's Jennifer Aniston and Steve Carell. Mm-hmm. And I knew nothing about it. I saw no promos. I thought it was going to be kind of a lighthearted, fun comedy about a couple morning show hosts, like almost like a Shandling show. It's not that. It's
I thought it was like based off Matt Lauer.
It is.
Oh, okay.
Almost verbatim.
Oh.
I mean, there's stuff in there that is dead specific to the Matt Lauer accusations.
Mm. Yeah, but it's a couple of years old.
Right, but...
Like, yeah. This has been out. It got a whole lot of publicity. But I think it's like 3 years old. At least 2 years old.
Yeah, it's good, though.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah. I keep... Like, you almost have to gear up for certain things when you're going to watch something. Like, you want something... That, like Cobra Kai. It's 30 minutes. Easy, you know, get in, get out, you're fine. You can move on with the rest of your day. Yes, McLovin.
I disagree because I did episode 1 of season 3 of Cobra Kai at 11 at night, and I was dead. I could not stop binging. You can stop binging. Oh, I had to watch the whole season. I sat there, and I couldn't stop.
I don't binge. I don't even get through a full episode usually on things.
You're the opposite. You're like a slow burn on shows. You'll watch an episode and then take a couple years off. You're like The Sopranos.
Well, Game of Thrones, I watched the first 30 minutes and then I was done. I haven't watched anything since. So
that might be fair, though. The first 30 minutes of Game of Thrones is like, either you're in or you're out.
Oh, yeah. But I don't think I was ever in.
Yeah.
So, in fairness to Game of Thrones. Yes, McLean.
You did predict that Jon Snow would come back out of nowhere.
I know. I go, yeah, Jon Snow's going to come back. And I'd never watched an episode. Yes, he.
I've been watching this show that's a couple years old called Halt and Catch Fire.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. I only have 2 episodes left, and I'm super bummed that it's
I just
be
didn't
over.
Like the title of it.
Yeah.
Like, it sounded like it was, Jennifer Lawrence and...
Hunger Games?
Yes. It sounded like it was another Hunger Games.
The first season, the first 2 seasons are pretty good. Season 3 and 4 have been phenomenal.
Hmm.
Fantastic.
Hmm. Okay. Jeff in Detroit. Hi, Jeff. The Lions put you out of your misery yesterday.
Yeah, man, those bums will wait till next year. What up, though? One time for chat, bro. Listen, good seeing the fellas back in the studio. I'm sure their wives had coffee waiting on them going out the door like, thank God you're back in the... I mean, you got to go back to the studio, babe. But I wouldn't talk about them. They're my boys. Listen, I got 2 bests and a worst. First best, I didn't get 1 Christmas gift, but I was so thankful this Christmas and probably was one of the best Christmases I had a chance to reconnect with family. And I understood, you know, the real meaning of Christmas. It was about presents, not presents. Ah, wordplay, Fritz. Listen, second one is going to be you guys had an article in Boston.com. They did an article on the Dan Patrick Show. It says Dan Patrick is in tune with the times. It connected on the positivity and the camaraderie that you guys have with each other, and they hit on some pretty good points. So it's some really, really nice reading. I'm glad that somebody else is getting what, you know, pretty much all your fans already know. Would you say 20-year success overnight, as they say?
Thank you, Jeff.
And my worst is going to be OSU and Clemson. Dabo, man, you get mollywopped like that. Now, me opening my mouth, oh, yeah, Clemson is going to be OSU. I have to drive a turkey spaghetti and a peach cobbler to Cleveland, Ohio with a I Love Cleveland shirt on or something like that, man. They got some torturous plan for me, but hey, next time I'll keep my mouth shut, man.
Thank you, Jeff.
Welcome back, guys.
Thank you, bud. Yeah, it's a nice article in Boston Globe. Chad Finn, you know, thank you for the kind words with the show. But I, you know, Jeff makes it seem like nobody's ever said anything nice about me or something. I've been very, very lucky. And I think those who listen to these shows or watch these shows and their critics have been very complimentary. So I appreciate that. And you guys got some pub, you know, for a change. Yeah, finally got publicity.
Huge in Boston.
Yeah, McLovin.
I'm glad a caller brought that article up because I was going to make that my best stuff, but I think it's a little better that it happened that way.
Todd, what'd you learn today?
Peter King thinks if the Jags want to hire Urban Meyer as their next head coach, they should proceed with caution.
McLovin.
Sal Powell says, move over Spygate. Move over Deflategate. Let's investigate the Eagles.
And Seton O'Connor.
Segment of the year. I'm going to be obsessed with the concept.
Yeah. Right now, it's Sal Powell Antonio. Paulie.
David Pollack. Hat backwards, guys, and it worked.
The supplement I take every day, M-Drive. Powerful ingredients backed by science. Help you get energized, stronger, leaner. Go to mdrivedan.com today. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refine your prime with M-Drive. Great to be back. Talk to you tomorrow here on the Dan Patrick Show.